Oh, hey, greetings everybody. This is Wesley Pepper, this is Art Texture Podcast, and this is episode 137. So that's a nice big number, and yeah, thanks to all the new, I'm going to be getting a new, a bunch of new listeners and subscribers, and much love to that. Remember, I'm working with Mustafa and Adu Holloway, you know, there in Washington, and we've got the Global Sports, so check out that channel. There's a lot of crazy stuff there. They're talking a lot about the... Hey, my football knowledge is not that great, but the thing in Europe. I'll just end this there. But yeah, we're also starting a new thing called Political Animals, which is gonna be dope. So we're talking to a bunch of stuff, and remember, we've got this African election coming up, so that's gonna be exciting. But check out Global Sports and Mustafa Stalks Football. That's a mouthful. I'll get better with that over time. But yeah, so as a podcaster and as an artist, you know, we collaborate with a lot of stuff. So yeah, anyway, I've got a really cool guest today, man. So all the way from Cape Town, Rihanna Obery, my sister. You are a writer, primarily, right?
That's like, I think so.
Yeah, so you do a bunch of cool stuff, man. And just for my listeners, we shared a throwback last night, which was wild because I haven't thought of that literally in many, many, many years. So that was wild. So we share an interesting connection as well. Maybe we'll get to that a bit later. But first and foremost, my sister, welcome. How are you?
I'm pretty well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell us, we were talking offline about like a ghostwriter. I want to get to that, but let's start from the beginning. So just explain to us, like, I guess, like, where did the with artists is always the same, like, where did the artist bug, or where did you decide when and how, like, okay, now I'm not doing, you know, I'm not working for anything, I'm a writer, I'm a good professional, because you are published, and we're going to get to that as well, but let's start in the beginning.
All right, let me say from the get-go that I'm a fledgling writer. I'm new in the game. I've got a long road ahead of me. So let us just be clear on that. And as far as writing is concerned, I've always had a passion since school. You know, I was good at essay writing and poetry. And I mean, not on the level that most poets are, but you know, the normal poem where every second word rhymes in every second sentence and that kind of thing, sometimes limericks. So yes, I had a flair for writing then already. And I never envisioned that I would be a writer at the age of 59, which is my age. So I started on my life story a couple of years ago. And I thought that because of being quite good with writing, that it would come easily. It would be easy to do. But it actually wasn't. It was a mammoth task. And it takes a lot of thought and application and scribbling, and you know, I literally wrote my autobiography on exam pads. I did not do it on a computer, so I'm extremely old school, and it would be tearing up pages and rewriting and tearing up the pages, and it took me at least 4 years to write a very short autobiography. So that is where it started, and I felt very passionately that I had so much to talk about. If you'd like to know what the autobiography was.
Yeah. I was gonna ask that. Right. What are you talking
okay.
about?
Okay. All right. Look, I believe everyone has a story to tell. You know, yeah. Everyone goes through what they go through. Yeah. It is just that people are not strong enough, people are not brave enough, people are embarrassed. And then those are the negative things that happens. And then there are the positives. There's the growth, there's your prosperity. Your dreams fulfilled, your spirituality, all of that comes into play when you write your story. But I think largely people are motivated when they go through trauma, yeah, which in my case was
for sure.
My primary reason, my primary purpose for writing my book. When I was 6 years old, I was raped. And this had a very severe impact on my mental health. And to add insult to injury, I got married, fell in love, got married, and that was a very abusive marriage. psychologically abusive, physically abusive, emotionally abusive. So I felt that all of that was in this melting pot of who made me Rihanna, and I wanted to write about it. And like I said, it impacted my mental health. That is part of what I write about. And what is also significant about my autobiography is that I place a great deal of emphasis on mental health awareness. So I'm a very strong proponent of mental health awareness.
Okay.
And then my story also unfolds. It unfolds and unpacks my spiritual journey. Would you like to see the cover? This is the cover of my book.
What does it
It's
say?
called
Unbottling
Unbottling
bottle.
God.
Okay.
Unbottling God. So the title is just about my having been abused and not believing in God. I mean, where was God? Why did he allow this? I was 6 years old. Why did God allow all this to happen to me? So I did not believe in him. I did not acknowledge my spirituality. And as I went through my life, my spirituality unfolded even through my trauma. And that is why I call it unbottling God, because I literally unbottled him from my trauma, because my trauma held him captive and held him bottled up. So I unbottled him for myself. So that is where my title comes in.
Okay. So you raised something about mental health, which I find so it's actually such a broad thing. So I'm trying to be like real specific, but just give me your views. We are living in like a post-COVID world, which has been pretty crazy. I know mental health is has also gained some form of a mainstream recognition of some sort. So give me your views. Like, what are you writing about, or what are you addressing? Anything specific about mental health? And yeah,
Yes,
we'll unpack it
absolutely.
from there.
Absolutely. I'll do that. I do that. I do find that in the international arena, mental health gets the recognition that it deserves. Unfortunately, in South Africa, we are moving very slowly. There's a very big
Yeah.
rock of apathy, stigma attached to mental ill health. It is scary. I mean, just to give you a bit of background, in the Middle Ages, mental health you were put to death, literally put to death, when you were cuckoo, and you were locked up in cells and not given any food, and there was that. So I guess sometimes get the feeling that we haven't really moved much, because there's still
Yeah.
that disdain. There's still that disdain towards someone
Yeah.
who's got anxiety. In my case, I was diagnosed. I've had seven nervous breakdowns as a result of having been raped as a child. It just churned through my system and through my head and through my mind. And I literally conked in at the age of 16. And subsequent to that, and all other catalysts like the divorce and the hidings and all of that, also just triggered the breakdowns. And praise God, some people will say touch wood, but I say praise God. He brought me through, and that is what Unbottling God is about. And the illness that I'm specifically addressing is that having had seven breakdowns, I was diagnosed in 2007 with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
So I write about my having been diagnosed and what it is like to live with bipolar disorder. So my book is multi-layered. It has many facets.
So you're
It's a
talking
short book.
about
It is
your
12 short chapters.
so you're
Sorry.
talking about your personal you're writing about your personal experiences
I'm writing about my,
through.
because it's an autobiography. It's an autobiography. So
Yeah.
it has different facets. It has different layers. And yet it is a very short story. You can read it within 1.5 hours over a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But I've condensed it. I've condensed the book, Wesley, because I find that people do not want to read much anymore. And those who do, well, you seldom you really find people who have a passion for reading. And those who don't really want to read, they want to read short stories. And
You
because of
know,
that, I did not make my
let me
book
give
too
you
thick. I made it very
interesting
thin,
point.
small, short.
Interesting point. Let me just give you this perspective on that. I think a lot of that has got to do with these different platforms we have. For example, like with Spotify, Spotify has
Yes.
changed the way songs like modern pop music is structured. Like songs are tracks are much shorter, they're louder, etc. It's technical. But one thing, they're very
Yes.
short. And likewise with Netflix. Or these streaming platforms, like a series now used to generally be like 13 episodes a season. Now it's like eight, sometimes it's like 10. The way people tell stories, or basically my point is that, like, I think people are adapting to these platforms differently, so their habits are changing. So in terms of writing,
Yes,
I get what you
adapting to the
say
times.
to make it shorter. Yeah, but
Yes.
I think a lot has got to do with technology. So an interesting conversation would be is like, or I guess it's like how do you adapt like to because people want, as you said, say really quick. There's this thing. Anyway, I don't wanna get ahead of myself. But like just to come back into your I wanna talk about the book itself, about the self-publishing. And it's sort of like the hustle behind everything, because it must be, going through all the experiences and talking about it is one thing, and then opening up the world is one thing, but to get it published is something completely else. And
I'm telling
I'm
you,
sure
it's a lot of things.
that was quite a mission. So
It
tell us a
took
little
a
bit
lot
about
of
that.
I don't know how loose you are with your colloquialism and how loose you are
No,
with
you can
slang. But
you can talk
it
here.
took, look here, it took balls to write this book. I mean, there's no other way to put it, honestly.
Yeah,
I
tell
can
us
use
about
very fancy adjectives. I can use fancy
that.
adjectives and adverbs. But for you to actually write your story and stand naked in front of the world to tell them what happened graphically,
Absolutely aware.
it is something else. It is something else. There was somebody in my family who actually said to me, you know, but this is private. How can you talk about this? And that is what's wrong with the world. People are sweeping this type of thing under the mat. Mental health is not being spoken about. Well, not enough. Abuse is not being spoken about. So these are the things. And by the way, the person, the people who were going to originally publish my book, the first company I approached, they wanted me to change the title. So not Unbottling God. They wanted me to have the title Discovering God. I said, but there are lots of books called Discovering God. My
Yeah,
book
it
shines out with a title.
sounds
It's
really
Unbottling
generic.
God.
Yeah.
It's got a specific meaning for me, right? And I've explained it to you earlier. And then they also wanted, so the one chapter in my book, chapter three, graphically says and tells what happened to me when I was six. So this particular company wanted me to change and to rewrite. In fact, they wanted to rewrite my chapter because, to quote them, it was too graphic and not conducive to the Christian readers reading. So I said, well, I'm sorry, I'm not going to tell you easily what I said to them, but I told them to go and fly a kite. So that's a euphemism that I'm using now. I'm not going to sugarcoat my trauma. Hell no. It is what it is. I'm writing about it. And whoever does not like the book, close the book, throw it away.
Yeah,
Don't
read
read it. It's
something
not.
else.
The back of the book has a write-up that specifically says what the book is about. So if you read the write-up and you don't want to read it, you put it down. You know, but it was necessary. It was very cathartic. It was very cathartic for me. It was so healing. It was so healing and it was so liberating for me to write my story. And I am now on a mission trying to encourage people to write their stories
Yeah,
because
it's
of the
very,
benefit.
very therapeutic for many people
Yes.
on many levels, for sure.
Yes, and look, if you die with your story not having been told, it tarries with the sting of death. It is gone. But if you write your story 100 years from now, it will still be there.
Yeah,
It
we
becomes
definitely.
immortal.
Yeah,
It
we
becomes
definitely.
immortal.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. And I sort of want to champion what you're saying there. Like, we're definitely in the age of that, of people telling, I mean, people broadcast their entire lives on social media, you know, from birth in some cases. And one thing about writing your own story is that, like, you have complete control over the narrative. If you know, you just broadcast everything on social media and all these algorithms and this entire system they have behind these networks control that. So I think personally, I think it's very important. And I also think, as you say, you should encourage people. I champion that, you know, like, absolutely. So tell me, when did you have the book published? Because you say you have two.
It was last year, August. The book was published last year,
So
August.
you says you publish it yourself.
Because I had such difficulties with publishers, and it was expensive.
Yeah,
Prices are exorbitant.
it is,
Then
especially
I came
printing.
across,
Yeah.
I believe in destiny. I've got a saying, the path we walk has already been divinely paved.
For
That
sure.
is one of my philosophies. So I believe that every person, good or bad, who comes across your path, that has been preordained. And that is that humbly, but that is my
Yeah, man.
philosophy and my belief. So I came across this wonderful lady. She's in Wakkerstroom, Mpumalanga. And she agreed to do the layout and the cover and the printing. But she said to me, you become your own publisher. So I'm not a publisher with a degree or years of experience, but by virtue of the fact that I published my own book, I become a publisher. And
Yeah.
she said to me, you choose a name as your publishing company. I said, must I register? She said, no, it's just your publishing name. So I've got a name and I published my own book with no hassle. No one changed a word of my book. I didn't have to change chapter three, and there it is. It is available on Amazon, Takealot, Smashwords, Barnes and Noble. Yes.
Yeah, I was gonna get to, like, where it's available, but, like, thanks for that. So
I'm being
also,
forward. I'm being forward. I'm advertising myself.
no. This is the plan. This is the platform for that. So I'll chop that up in shorts, right? And I'll, you know, like, 1 minute videos and stuff like that. So I'll include that bit that you just mentioned. Let me just tell you something about self-publishing. So I've worked a lot. Well, I still do, like, extensively with writers, on different levels and stuff. But one thing I've noticed, I can't even remember when, but, like, self-publishing has exploded because of social media. You have all these tools, which some in most cases are free, and you have your own little network of friends on different platforms, and you can sell to them. You get your work out there. It is unedited, like you say. It's raw. It's authentic. It's yourself. Those type of things are actually exploding, which is I find that very interesting and empowering. So firstly, salute to that. Like, I
Absolutely.
know it's a I know the hassle, like, to when you just to start, like, oh shit, I'm actually gonna write about this. Till you actually have the book, it's a thing, and you should be acknowledged for that. So before we move on, you know, much love to that. So you say you have two books. So tell us about the second one, and then we'll get into the ghostwriting.
All right, now we have to
Yeah,
actually jump in
and
with the ghostwriting right here, because the second book I ghost wrote. So it is not, I'm not the author. It is not my story. I'm the ghostwriter. So the gentleman, he was 79 years old, and he's been wanting to write his story for a very long time, and he's been struggling for years and years to get people to actually do it. But the challenge came in because it was written in exercise books. And I do not think anyone was prepared to type it from the exercise books
Oh, okay,
in
the
order to
process. Yeah.
edit to do his book. So he basically had a framework in these exercise books. And I wrote from the framework. I made his story. I built it. I gave it meat. So his name is Uncle Mike, and Uncle Mike came to me in, let me see, October, and I did his book. It was a challenge because now you have to type every word and you have to then edit, right? And he turned 80 now in March the 13th, 13, sorry, and it was my desire and my wish to put his book in his hand on his 80th birthday, which I managed to achieve. So this is the second book that I wrote, but this was not, I'm not the author. He's the author, but
So,
I
tell us
ghostwrote
about
it.
his story. What's his story about?
Fascinating story. I mean, I have such respect for the man. He grew up, he was born in Durban, fatherless. His father abandoned his mother. She fell pregnant. And they had a very hard life, moved from pillar to post. She, for some other reason, she abandoned him. And this is where he where his story starts to unfold. He went through so much. An interesting part of his book is that when he was a child, very young, his mother was Muslim, and he asked her, "What is my religion?" Because they weren't she wasn't practicing anything, any formal religion. Then he asked her, "But what is my religion?" And then she said to him, "You don't have a religion. God will give you a religion when you grow up." So this, the, all of this unfolds in his story, where he goes from one home to the other. With his mother having abandoned him, he is sent from pillar to post, and so much confusion. And then he's adopted by a Muslim family, and did not go through. There were many problems with his family because the exploitation and the abuse and all of that. And then he was very unhappy about having to embrace the Islamic faith. He did it hesitantly, but he was coerced and he didn't really have a choice because he was a child. And then as his story unfolds, he eventually embraces Catholicism. And this predominantly becomes his religion. Well, Christianity, but you know, with Catholicism, it shines out and it stands out as that he was a Catholic. So his theme in the book towards the end puts emphasis on the fact that he became a Catholic and how that played a role in his life. I can't think of anything else. He is very
Okay.
spiritual. He's very
I sort of, I
spiritual.
sort of, I
Yeah.
sort of, I
So
sort of get
that all
that.
comes out.
What's the, what's
That all
the,
comes
what's
out
the,
in the book.
sure. What's the title?
The title of the book is Mommy. Can you hear me?
I'm here. I'm
Can you
here.
hear me?
Yeah.
All right. The title of the book is Mommy, Why Are You Throwing Me Away Now?
Sure.
And the reason he chose this particular title is because he actually asked her those words. When she said to him she's going away and she's not coming back, he actually asked her, "But Mommy, why are you throwing me away now?" So
Is the is the
when
book
sorry.
sorry, pardon to catch you. Is the book available?
Yes, it is available. I have hard copies, and
Do you
it
have a
will
cover?
be available on Amazon as well as Takealot and the other platforms within the next month.
Do you have like you have a cover so you can show
Yes,
my
if you'll just bear with me for a second, please.
yeah, it's fine. Thank you, Ty.
That's Uncle Mike. I call him Uncle Mike. He has a very strong resemblance to Elvis Presley, as you can see. He won an
You just
Elvis
lift it a
Presley
bit higher.
lookalike competition. He won an Elvis Presley lookalike competition when he was young. So he wanted this on the cover of his book. It's called Mommy, Why Are You Throwing Me Away Now? And he's Michael Martinez. And this is what he looks like. I don't know if you can see. Can you see what he looks like?
Yeah, it's a bit but like I get it. So
All right,
what I
that's
want
what he
to do
looks like today.
We'll communicate, and you'll just drop me, the links to those sites, and I'll put it on the episode.
Yes,
So people.
absolutely, I'll do that.
So let's get into the whole thing about ghost writing. Tell me, why did you, or rather, how did it come to being? And just explain to me your idea about it. What it means, and do you anyway, let me not get ahead of myself.
All right, so as I said at the outset, I am a fledgling author.
Yeah, man.
And
Yeah.
yes, there are many things in one's mind and in your life that you want to write down. So I wrote my story, but I'm like at the moment I'm writing a memoir, but the memoir unfolds every day. So probably in 10 years' time I'll publish my memoir. But what has put me on the road of being a ghostwriter was Uncle Mike's book.
Okay.
Because it is someone who gave me a framework, and I wrote his story based on his framework. And
So
I think one
okay.
becomes. No, carry on, carry on. You carry on.
So 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 why not publish under, or rather, pardon, why not write under your own name?
I probably would. You mean his story? Why not write his story under my name? Is that your question?
Yeah.
No, because I'm rightfully not the author. It is his story. I cannot write his story. If you give me your story to write tomorrow,
I
and you
see
give
your
me your
point.
framework or your draft, I am ghostwriting it for you. I'm not the author, I'm the ghostwriter.
Sure,
And
sure.
interestingly enough, Wesley,
Yeah.
there are two schools of thought when it comes to ghostwriting.
Yeah.
The skeptics will say that it is similar to plagiarism. It is misconduct because you're taking someone else is claiming your work as theirs.
Yeah.
So someone else publishes something, or for example, if it's a company, right? And then
Yeah.
the person who's getting the credit for your work, they regard that as misconduct in many circles and plagiarism.
Well,
How
my understanding is a disagreement between you
That's
saying
my
that you
point.
can
That's
use.
my next
So
point.
I think
That's my next
that
point,
is
yes.
the most important, thing in the
Absolutely, because
argument.
the truth of the matter
So it
is it
can't be
is an
plagiarism.
agreement.
Yeah.
Yes, it's an agreement. But you know, there are always different schools of thought.
Yeah.
And you find your diehard skeptics and you find your strong opinions, and I suppose that's what makes the world what it is, eh?
Ach yeah, man. Personally, I think those type of titles aren't really important. If it works for you, I don't see why you should care. Yeah, your name. I know
No,
that just
I'm
as.
unfazed, eh? I'm unfazed. Yeah,
Yeah, and
yeah.
you should be. You should be. I don't think it's a thing, personally. I just wanted to raise just another. I remember, like, ghostwriting. We almost like at the boot, like being, but like it's like probably 20 years ago. It's amazing. It's amazing how time changed. How times have changed. So like moving forward, like or rather, no, shit, before we get there, you gave the you said, like, on what platforms the books are available, but like, how else are you asking to get your books out there? Are you, like, going to book fairs, stuff like that?
Ideally,
Book circles, etc.
I should be going. I am on social media. When I say social media, I mean Facebook. I'm only recently on Instagram, and thanks to a very wonderful human being, beautiful human being, you know him, Don Bucus.
Yeah.
I am now active on LinkedIn, and he is giving me so much support, and he is just absolutely amazing in terms of his guidance, and I have such respect for his skill and his gift and his talent, and the fact that he is such
Yeah,
a
no,
humble human being
shout out
and so helpful. So yes, he's also helping me to get some exposure.
Yeah. I would highly recommend you check out this African Book Council. Okay, so they don't do much fairs anymore. In fact, I think I will communicate with you on WhatsApp. There's maybe because I just realized like that thing was actually fuck it actually because of after COVID so many things stopped. But I think there's a few okay, some I'm just trying to think, but someone is on Joburg, but it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter because through these networks, you know, you can, and there's a lot of online platforms, including this platform,
Yes,
as well.
yes.
So I would recommend that. Yeah, man. Just like in closing. We spoke offline about AI being this big game changer, and you said you have a very like opinion about it. What's your take on it? And I mean, yeah.
I have a very strong opinion, but then again, I opine very strongly on many things and it often gets me into
Yeah.
trouble. But with AI, I've seen what AI does and it removes the authenticity from the writing. Whatever I write in the future, or whatever I plan to write in the future, I will never want AI to even feature in my writing. It must be me. I'm old school. It must be me, it must be my voice, it must be my style of writing. And if
Yeah.
my syntax is not perfect, if my syntax is not perfect, if there won't be spelling errors, but sometimes there are grammatical errors. And whereas AI will put something differently, I will put it differently. But I want my voice and my authenticity to shine through in my writing. And I'm sorry, but AI is artificial. It loses and it detracts from the essence of the writer's writing style.
Yeah,
It
it's a
is
problem.
artificial. Well, it is artificial intelligence. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a major problem, and it's a serious game changer. And just
Yes.
for my listeners as well, man, Shipman, I'll actually paste the link into this profile over here. I think I'll do it in all my episodes. I should have done it with Candice's episode. Anyway, there's this thing, there's a server that I was part of. I can't remember the company's name, and I have to write things down to remember them. But anyway, because this is off the cuff, and like these guys are trying to lobby some form of legislation, where artists and content creators, but like artists' rights, etc., can sort of legislate or have some form of legislation around AI, because this is a major fucking game changer,
Yes.
and
Look, I believe that AI is
it's
wrecking the
changing people's.
authenticity of authors.
I mean,
Yeah.
things are already tough in the creative industry. So, in not just in South
Yes.
Africa, but like throughout the quote-unquote third world or the continent. So, this I will actually put that thing in the corner. I should do it for every episode. I actually feel very strongly about this, and I feel we should get as many people's opinions about it and should share and talk about it because I don't think you and I will having the same conversation next year, never mind 6 months about this technology. It is a serious game changer. I just want to give you
Yes,
a real quick story about like how scary this thing I read last year. So last year might as well be 5,000 years ago. There was some fella in this name in the States. He had a daughter. He wanted to write a some story book about or to his daughter or whatever, and he just went onto this platform and he did the whole thing like in 3 days, and in 3 days his daughter got a book. I mean I you know conceptualized it, wrote it, illustrated it, published it, like that. I mean like they spoke about it. I mean the quality wasn't great, but this was like last year. It could be 1,000 years. It's AI is moving at a rapid pace. My point being is that this is a game changer, and I
It
just feel
is.
really strong that artists and creators like yourself, we should. But anyway, sorry, man, I was
But
preaching to
where's
the
the
heart.
spirit? Where's the spirit of the writing of the narrative if
Yeah, and I
the
just owns
originality and the
everything, and
authenticity is
you
not
won't
there?
even get paid for it. You understand? You won't. You, if they use your stuff in any form of You won't even get paid for it. And like I think we should as creators, like as I said, I feel really strongly about that.
Yes.
And that's why I'm trying to, you know, in every single episode, at least touch with whoever I'm talking to on some level
Yes.
about that, because these things are important. But anyway, Mariana, thank you very much, my sister, man. So what we will do is we'll chop up, you know, these, you know, the shot, the we speak about the book and stuff, and we'll put the you know, those Amazon or all those e-commerce links. And
Link.
Much love and all success to that. I'll there's a few organizations. I'll just have to think a little bit longer about it, but I'll let you know via WhatsApp. But thank you very much, man, for coming and for sharing your story and for being
Thank
brave.
you for making it relaxed. Thank you for making us relaxed.
Ah, that's a serious compliment. Yeah, man, this is like I just want to tell this story and get people's opinions, and I like to talk to a array of creators and artists from all over the globe. And yeah, to my listeners, remember, man, like, you find value in this content, please smash that like and subscribe button, and remember to check out Global Sports, Gennaro Talks Football with Mustafa. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. It's just before six. I think it's late for people our age, so it's getting late.
I'm 60 years old, but I'm young.
60 years, yeah. Ariana, enjoy your evening, my sister. I'll be in contact with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be part of your show.
Salute, my sister, and all the best with the books. I'll help you as far, you know, this platform will push your work.
That is be wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, God
Salud.
bless you.
Bye-bye, sister.
Bye.